Psalm 66, for the director of music, a song, a psalm. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works on man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear the Lord. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Great. Well, let me add my welcome to Kate. It's great to see everyone this evening. Please do keep your Bibles open to Psalm 66 so you can follow along with me, but let's pray before we start. Father God, we thank you for this great psalm that we have just had read, and we pray that you will remind us today of the incredible love that you have shown to us. Please engage our hearts today to help us to sing with joy to you, our loving and powerful God. Amen. Well, I wonder when the last time you felt true joy was. When was the last time you felt actual joy and happiness? Well, in October 2020, a survey company from the UK asked the same question to adults in 27 different countries. And their findings were that 6 in 10 adults would say they are happy, which is a significant dip from the year before. They were asked what made them happy, and people said different things like this. They said, my health, my relationship with my partner or spouse, my living conditions, feeling like I have control over my life, and many other things. And those things would probably make me happy too, but what happens when my health deteriorates? What about when my partner or spouse lets me down? Or when everything seems like it's going out of control, and I don't really feel like praising God? Why should I praise God when it feels like there's nothing to praise him for? Well, in this psalm, we're going to see three reasons why we should praise God. So we're going to see that we should praise God for his awesome power, we should praise God for his awesome rescue, and that we should praise God as he listens to us. So firstly, Psalm 66 tells us to praise God, the all-powerful. Praise God, the all-powerful, looking at verses 1 to 4. Psalm 66 starts with some imperatives. The psalmist tells us to praise God in various ways. First, he says to shout with joy to God. It doesn't say quietly thank God for what he's done. It doesn't say just acknowledge that God is good, although they're good things to do. It says shout with joy. And it doesn't just tell Christians to shout with joy. Look down at verse 1 with me. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. This call to praise is aimed at everyone. It's saying that the whole earth is to sing and shout with joy to God. I can't really remember when the last time I shouted for joy was, and I expect many of us may be thinking the same thing. How could we shout with joy? Some of us may feel like we have nothing to be joyful about. Or we may think it's ridiculous to shout with happiness when there's so much unhappiness around us. I used to be a Year 5 teacher in a primary school, and there were many times when the children would shout. I think I had probably the noisiest class in the whole school, but there was one time where they were especially loud. As a treat, I'd gone to get McDonald's for them. It was their last week of being in Year 5. They were about to move up to their final year of primary school. I had two crates of Happy Meals in my arms, and as I walked through the classroom door, everyone was quiet until one boy noticed what I had, and he shouted, "Mr. McDonald has brought us all McDonald's." And they all started shouting and chanting and singing, and they were so unbelievably happy. I didn't realise McDonald's was that exciting, but there we are. But as we'll see in this psalm, God should be so much more exciting to us than a Happy Meal was to those children. My hope is that as we hear about God's character in these verses, we'll be wanting to shout with joy to God and sing the glory of his name. As we're reminded of some great truths, I pray that we'll want to make his praise glorious, as we read in verse 2. In verse 3, we see one way in which the psalmist tunes our hearts to praise God. Look down with me at verse 3. "Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you." They're remembering how truly powerful God is. And in fact, there are many times in the Old Testament where God's enemies do cringe before him. We remember in Exodus how the plagues lead the Egyptian people to wail in the night, which causes Pharaoh to give in and let God's people go. We see in Joshua chapter 6 that the city of Jericho is destroyed and that everything in it is destroyed by the sword. In fact, again and again, God brings justice to his people. He has complete power over his enemies. Nobody is stronger than our powerful God. Verse 4 says, "All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name." And there are times in the Old Testament where unlikely people do praise the Lord. We hear in Daniel of how God drives away the tyrannical king Nebuchadnezzar to live with the wild beasts. But as his sanity is restored, he writes of praise to God. In Daniel chapter 4, he says this. He says, "I praised the Most High. I honoured and glorified him who lives forever." And in 1 Kings, we hear of how the Queen of Sheba is overwhelmed as she challenges God's king. And we're told that she praises the Lord for his justice and righteousness. How amazing that God is infinitely powerful, so powerful, in fact, that the whole earth bows down to him. But reading that, we might be thinking, what about God's enemies now? We're always hearing of people opposing the Lord in the media and among our friendship groups. And it often seems like they have the upper hand. They don't cringe before God. They certainly don't bow down to him. Well, they may not now, but we know that there will be a day where God makes everything right. There will be a day when God brings perfect justice, and on that day, the whole earth will bow down to him. "Say to God, so great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name." We can sing this to God. We can sing, shout with joy to God, all the earth, knowing that he will defeat all evil and remembering that he has supreme power over everything. The God that we trust is infinitely more powerful than any of his enemies, than anyone or anything that we may be afraid of, whether that's a person or just a situation that terrifies us. God has power over all of those things. Praise God, the all-powerful. Moving on to verses 5 to 12, we're told to praise God, the rescuer. Praise God, the rescuer. Verse 5 begins with an invitation. Look at verse 5. "Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works on man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him." Now, we don't know exactly when this psalm was written or when it would have been sung. But we see here that the people are looking back on what God has done. More specifically, they're looking back on what God has done for them as his people. And we're given a significant example here in verse 6. We're reminded of when God rescued his people from the slavery in Egypt. If you don't know the story, in the book of Exodus, we hear about the Israelites escaping from Pharaoh in Egypt, and they get stuck at the Red Sea. In front of them is the sea, behind them are hundreds of chariots charging towards them, ready to kill them. What could they do to escape? How could they get out of this one? There's absolutely nothing that they could do to save themselves. But God used his almighty power to part the Red Sea and to give them a path of dry land to escape on. Now, in my spare time, I love watching movies, and recently I rewatched some of the Spider-Man films. And in the first one, there's a moment where this young boy gains incredible power, and he has to kind of figure out what to do with this power. And at first, he uses his power for his own selfish gain, to win money, and then to try to get revenge. But over the course of the film, he learns to help other people. But I was thinking, if it was me, if I was given this huge amount of power, I'd like to think I'd be like a superhero helping people. But the reality is, I'd probably end up using it just for my own gain. And we've heard a lot over the past few years about people with high status of power using it to oppress people for their own selfish gain. But how refreshing is it to hear that the one who has supreme power over everything uses his power for the good of his people. Verse 5 says, "How awesome his works on man's behalf." The God of the universe uses his power for the good of man. He could do anything that he likes. However, we have a good and loving God who wants what's best for his people. We see that looking back at the Exodus, but ultimately we see God doing this in Jesus' death and resurrection. When we read of God redeeming his people in the Exodus, it points us forwards to the ultimate redemption of God's people. We're reminded that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. He lived the perfect life that we could not live, and then took the punishment of death and separation from God, the punishment that we deserved. And then finally, defeating death, Jesus rose again from the dead and promises us that if we're trusting in him, we will be raised with him. If you're with us today and you're not trusting in Jesus, or if you're not sure whether you should trust in Jesus, can I implore you to check Jesus out for yourself? Read one of the Gospels and hear of who he is and what he has done for you, or ask someone here about him, and you'll find that Jesus is supremely powerful, yet he uses his power for you and welcomes you into his family. And if you are trusting in Jesus, then how amazing is it to remember that he chooses to use his power for our good? When we're praising God in church each Sunday and at home during the week, we need to ask ourselves, does my praise of God come from my heart, thanking him for what he has done for us as a church? Or has my praise of God grown cold and empty? If we feel like we have nothing to praise God for, then we need to remind ourselves daily of the amazing rescue that God has done for us. Come, let us rejoice in him. The psalmist continues to praise God. However, the context for this praise changes slightly. Verse 8 says this, "Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water." Now, I don't know about you, but at first glance, these things don't really seem like things to be thanking God for. The psalmist is thanking God for some pretty horrific things that happened. "Praise our God, O peoples, for you, O God, brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs." Why is this person still praising and thanking God with joy when they've gone through some really hard times? Well, it's because they know that God uses his great power for their good, even in hardship. Verse 10, "For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver." God's people are looking back on the oppression and imprisonment that they faced, knowing that God was using that situation for their good. Now, it takes a huge amount of trust to be able to have faith that God used that event for the good of his people. But we know that God did deliver his people from that evil. Yes, he brought them into prison. He laid burdens on their backs. He let men attack them. But, verse 12 ends, but you brought us to a place of abundance. God led his people to their holy land, which we assume is where they were at the time of writing this psalm. They're in a place of abundance, looking back and realizing that God was always working for them as a loving father who cares for his people. There are many psalms where God's people are crying out to him for help during times of suffering, but this psalm is different. This is a psalm where people are looking back with hindsight, noticing how God led them through that awful time and delivered them to a place of abundance. Now, for us, I'm sure that we're more than aware that we're not quite at that place of abundance yet. We just have to look at the news to see oppression, pain, loss, war. And for some of us, I'm sure it's not just in the news that we see hardship. Many of us may be facing physical pain, times of hardship and mourning now, which can be really, really tough. And there are a lot of psalms that speak into those situations. But what a comfort it is to know that God uses his power for our good, even in those times. In Romans 8, Paul reminds us of this truth, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. It may be difficult to see how God is working in our lives now, but there will be a day when we're in a place of abundance. When Jesus comes again, he will take us home with him to a place where we're told there'll be no more tears, no more crying, no more death. And when we're there, we'll be able to look back and see how God was working in our lives all along. So in our current time, where we witness suffering and hardship, we can praise God, the rescuer, who has rescued us from sin through Jesus' death on the cross, is using his sovereign power now for our good, and will deliver us from this broken world when he comes again. Praise God, the rescuer. Moving on now to our last point, verses 13 to 20 show us that we can praise God, the listener. Praise God, the listener. We've gone from seeing what God has done for the whole earth, what he does for his people, and now we see a much more individual case. In verses 13 to 15, the psalmist shows us how they will praise the Lord. Look at verse 13 with me. It says, I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. The worshipper is obeying God's command. In the Old Testament, God gave his people a detailed explanation of how to relate to him. You can read about it in Leviticus if you want to, and you can read of the different kinds of offerings and sacrifices that the people were to make. Two of the types of offering they were to make were sin offerings and burnt offerings. Sin offerings were used to atone for people's sins, and these would be done through an animal's blood. So instead of the people dying as punishment for their sin, the animal would die instead. Now, as Christian believers living after Jesus' death, we know that our sins have been atoned for. Jesus was the great sacrifice. He died in our place to atone for our sins. We no longer have to sacrifice animals or work tirelessly to be forgiven by God. We can simply trust in Jesus' loving work done on the cross. The New Testament writer of the book of Hebrews explains in chapter 13 how Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. But they continue to explain how we are to make sacrifices for the Lord. No need to turn to it, but Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. While we no longer need to give animal sacrifices, like the worshipper does in our psalm, we are to offer God a sacrifice of praise. We are to sing with joy to the Lord, as it says in our psalm, and we're to confess his name to others around us. But we are also to live in a way that pleases the Lord. The writer of Hebrews explains that we are to do good and to share with others. Our Christian lives are to be a living sacrifice as a way of praising the Lord. This means living differently from how the world tells us to live. This means living in a way that pleases the Lord and helps others, rather than living in a way that will please ourselves and work only for our gain. But why do this? Why should we praise God in this way? Now, I'm notoriously bad at listening. If you ask my family members, they'll tell you that if I'm on my phone or watching the TV, that I probably won't have heard what they've been trying to say to me, and they'll probably need to repeat it again. Most of the time, we can laugh about it, but every now and then, it might be something serious that I've missed. And I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you haven't been listened to. Maybe you opened up about something personal to somebody, but they just brushed it off. Or maybe you feel like you can't express how you feel to others. Well, the writer of Psalm 66 knows with confidence that the Lord has listened. Look at verse 18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. They know that God has surely listened and heard their voice. There's confidence there. God does listen to his people's prayers. We can cry to the Lord, telling him how we feel, or presenting requests to him, or praising him for what he has done for us. Because we are in Jesus, we have access to God the Father, and we can pray to him, boldly knowing that he will listen. Verse 20, praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Our God does not withhold his love from us. He gives us his love as a free gift and cares for us as a loving father. When we enjoy a great meal with friends and family and we thank God for it, he listens. When we feel anxious or frustrated and cast our fears to God, he listens. When we feel guilty and cry to God for forgiveness, he listens. How incredible that we have a God who enjoys listening to his children and treats us as a perfectly loving father. Praise God, the listener. So how can we shout with joy to God? Well, we can praise God, the all-powerful, remembering that he is ultimately sovereign and that he uses his almighty power for the good of his people. We can praise God the rescuer, remembering how he has freely saved us from the penalty of our sin and how he will deliver us from this broken world. And we can praise God the listener, remembering that the Lord delights in hearing his children call to him. Nothing else compares to the wondrous power, promise, and love that we can find in our Lord God. So as we praise his name, let's really think about the words that we're singing and offer our hearts up to the Lord. Let's pray. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Father God, we are struck by your awesome power and are amazed by your wondrous deeds. And we thank you so much that you are a sovereign God that delights in working for the good of your people and who cares for us as our Father. We thank you that we can relate to you through prayer, and we pray that you will help us to shout with joy to you. Amen.